This, as an organization, I'm glad we're starting to bash on the regulators and starting to starting to draw lines in the sand as to what we want and what we know we need. That's good. I think that's good for us. I think Australia's been doing that for a while and some of the European countries, but America's finally coming around to that point. What I'd like to do today is, again, give you some sort of insight. I'm one of those bureaucrats, unfortunately. I don't think that I'm a bureaucrat. I try not to act like a bureaucrat, but I go to those meetings and I deal with those intractable bureaucrats that we are probably going to eventually have to reason with. Or I'm the same way. I think we just have to wait for them to retire and get the new blood in and keep educating people. That's unfortunately, I'm in the meetings with them, and that's my advice to you. So I don't know if that's going to help or not. Of course, don't even want me to do anything with rainwater catchment, my current position with the EPA. And so I have to put this disclaimer on everything because make sure that you understand that these are personal views and not something that that would be, we're not talking about any policy here. A lot of experience in my part of the world, and all these systems are different. I mean, in my part of the world, every system is different, so I can imagine the differences that we get across geographical areas. This is a typical cistern system. The cistern is right there. These are designed to be built into the foundation. They're underground. They're poured cement for the most part. They're typically 10,000 gallons and more than that. They're fairly large. Do have a lot of foliage in our part of the world, and the reason I picked this one is that yes, those are plants growing in the gutter of the catchment system there, and that's one of the problems. These are people who have been using rainwater systems for generations. They think that the water is just fine. They're not going to spend any money on it. They don't. None of my users disinfect. Hardly any of them use filters. They are satisfied with the water source as it is. And unfortunately, there are problems with cistern systems. And so it's my job to make sure that I do go out and point out that sometimes they do have to do some maintenance. I think it was Jack that said when you put in a rainwater system, you become the water treatment operator of that system, and I have to agree with the bureaucrats. That's a frightening thing to think about. There are definite definitions and technical definitions of what these systems are going to be. Each time that we have a meeting like this, a lot of these things are the same. I want to remind you that rainwater is going to be considered as a surface water, and to people who make regulations, that is a great difference between treating it as any other type of water. Surface water is the nastiest type of water, and that's the way rainwater is going to be considered, unless we educate them, and I think that hopefully that's what this association will do. We'll start educating these people about this water source. I like to compare where the well industry is at as to where I think we might be going and the way that we're going to have to interact with the regulators. So I'm using well as sort of a comparison. But even with the well industry, there is no mandatory maintenance. The Department of Health, again, are the people that are responsible for responding to something that might be occurring. And when they do respond, they usually look around and look at things that are being done elsewhere. And it really, as far as water is concerned, they will always default back to the tests that are being done on treated water. And cistern water is very different from treated water. So we've got a real disjunct there. And that's where I'm spending a lot of my time trying to educate them. I put up a couple of things. There are differences in states. I'm right at the border. I work in Ohio and I live in Kentucky. And this is a a page from the Department of Health in the Ohio state of Ohio, and they actually have quite a bit of information. They define what a public system is, so if you don't meet those requirements, then you are not a public system, and the EPA and the federal government don't care. Now, I'm a federal government employee, and we like to say that we're the good guys. You know, we don't impose any fines or regulations or anything. That's the state EPA level. We make all the regulations, but we don't enforce them. And so there's quite a bit of information here, and Ohio is pretty good. They have quite a bit of information about rainwater systems. Kentucky, on the other side, I've put the statement in red. That's the only line about cistern systems, is that line right there. And then the rest of it is about their other duties that they do. So all the states are different. And you talk to people in the state agencies, and they're all different as to their information, just as Tim is learning the information that you get from these individuals. The health departments are the villains. I understand that, and sometimes there's a reason for that. The CDC is really a villain, and so where do you turn to? You really turn to the EPA in this country as to try to figure out what the regulations are. The CDC and the departments of health, just they are going to have a certain mindset, and that mindset serves them well. And we're probably not going to change that. And so a lot of times for individual water systems, you default back to the EPA. And the EPA does, I mean, the work we do can be sort of, the work that I do on distribution systems and the organisms in the distribution systems and the treatment processes and the filters that you can use, et cetera, and the ultraviolet light exposure times, et cetera, that can be related to other industries. So we do have information, and so I just put this up here, but the two bottom things are what I would like to point out is that the EPA recognizes that water's out. The EPA recognizes that there are people that are collecting rainwater, and until the numbers get very high, probably, you know, it's just an unofficial recognition. But the end result is that you are responsible for the quality of your own water, and that some states, the EPA probably encourages states to set their own guidelines. And I think that's what's going to happen. I think each of the states are going to have very different guidelines, and hopefully this association can help somewhat in sort of making those guidelines similar, at least. But I think the states, even for private drinking waters right now, for well supplies, for instance, each of the states can be very different. Some of the things that I always keep reminding when I go out to my users of the systems, you know, it's almost an education process. People, and you, many of you use rainwater. Usually the first concern is the quantity of the water that you have, and then once you're satisfied that you do have the quantity, almost invariably the second concern is what is the quality of that water. And so that is where the both of those are important, and I think the design of the systems, of course, is where you can talk about the quantity, and then the government agencies do impose themselves as far as the quality is concerned. So who's going to be responsible for the design, the installation, the maintenance, and the control of these systems? I think those are still working themselves out. I just put these up because I'm a microbiologist and I like to talk about microbiology, but these are the recognized parameters. And if, for some reason, we got our way in many respects and the state recognized us, these would be the things that you would have to meet. So these would be the parameters that you would be meeting. We are very sensitive when we use the term potable. In fact, I've been reviewing a lot of articles that they want to use the term potable, but I won't let them use the term potable because technically this is the definition of potable water, water that does not have any of these organisms in it. How often are we going to monitor them? What's the cost? So the rest of the next 5 minutes or so, I have stolen blatantly. I'll let you know. There's a Dick Stubbs has put together a very interesting little pamphlet, and he raises all these questions. So all these questions and some of the assumptions all come from this packet. But he and I are of a same mind, I guess. So I'd like to give him recognition for that. And you can get information for this packet at that website. But he recognizes the following things, that these single-family dwellings are not reviewed by a regulatory process. Hopefully they will get a stamp of approval. Just like Tim was saying, you have to get a permit to drill a well. Hopefully you'll have to get a permit of some sort to put together a rainwater catchment system. It is uncommon to inspect these systems beyond saying that, yes, there it is, and you don't have any cross connection, you don't have any backflow, there's your system. And all the systems are different. And take one system, same exact system, put it in a different residence, and you might have problems with it. You all recognize, I guess, I'm just agreeing with you that plumbing regulations are less than clear, and local inspectors are often reluctant to approve these systems. And most of the installations are done by homeowners, and of course they will say that they're putting them in for non-potable, but at least in my area they're all potable. I think we do have, there is that trouble with distinction and regulation between potable and non-potable. Mr. Stubbs suggests that if these do get a wider acceptance, and I hope they do, and I think they are, I think we've got a critical mass now, and I think we're going to see, the storm management is really what is driving a lot of this. And we should probably be trying to have an influence on the regulatory requirements, and that we should try to put together, I think this association should try to put together some sort of an approval process that has to be done for you to install a rainwater catchment system. And I think those can be generic enough that they'll fit all the different unique situations that we see across the nation. If there are going to be standards, and there are going to be standards, so hopefully we will anticipate some of the standards, then we should try to put some of these standards in place. So not only have an approval process, but say, these are some of the standards that a good rainwater collection system should meet. We should accept the fact that we may have to tell people that rainwater catchment systems are not a viable alternative. And I certainly know of situations where I would do that if someone came to see me. So even if they do, they're going to have to locate somewhere else. This idea of approved components, I think that's really something that we need to, I get calls every month asking me about roofing materials. And all of our roofing materials in our area are the composite asphalt materials. And I have a system where I test for microbiological contamination of roofing materials, and they are fairly down low on the list. And I don't suggest those, but these are individuals that they don't want to spend thousands of dollars on roofing material. So we need to have, at least I know that I get a lot of questions about supplies, and you would know better than that. You're in the business of making these components and what materials are being used. We really need to have a list that we can provide. That is an area that I get a lot of questions about. I keep reminding you, part of my education is to keep reminding you that you cannot, I know you may want to, but you cannot forget about this liability issue. And that's what's driving all the bureaucrats. And if the bureaucrats cannot cover themselves, then they are not going to budge on some of these issues. And what I've got is, at the last three slides are some scenarios where I've tried to demonstrate to you how, even though the system is good, the interpretations by people who are using it are real hard nuts to crack. But if we can't suggest to them that they are completely safe, they are as safe of a water source as other available water sources, we're going to have a real problem. And I think I've heard this reiterated through the talks all 3 days. We need to keep educating individuals, keep them providing them with information, keep ahead of the questions, anticipate what it is that the local officials are going to need. And we've had some very good talks about that today. I'm going to suggest to you that water quality is a big deal, and you can agree with that or not, and already we know that maintaining water quality is problematic. That is and maybe that's where these other people who have criticisms of rainwater, they have anecdotal evidence that this is a problematic area for rainwater. Users can be fairly unfamiliar with treatments of the water, and past history suggests that standards will not be met by current methods available for use by homeowners. you can spend a lot of money and you put a lot of effort into your rainwater system. You sell the house, somebody else comes in, they don't have the same interest. And that's what local officials have to worry about. So let's look at these worst case scenarios in the last couple of minutes here. This is an interest. Now, I just got these from newspaper clippings and things off of the web, so I have no personal involvement in these, but I would assume, I don't always assume that everything that I read is true, but these are interesting scenarios. This was a development, and they wanted to use rainwater to cut down on the supply, and they wanted to cut down on the infrastructure costs. They wanted to run smaller mains in there. They could collect their water and use it for the non-potable and not have to have as much, put as much money into the infrastructure. And we heard someone talk about infrastructure. And you'll notice that this is something you've never thought about, and this is sort of, this is what this association has to anticipate. You cannot say that that water is safe. You cannot say that there are no long-term ramifications from being exposed to that water, or even short-term ramifications being exposed to that water. So these were firefighters that, in essence, influenced that. And even though the developer wanted to put rainwater systems in, this wasn't resolved, and I haven't seen what the resolution for this was. The state of Washington, Tim's state, has gone so far as to say that if you put any kind of filter onto a line, that louses up their being able to monitor the quality of that water. And so that voids any water delivered from then on, is they will not guarantee any filter treatment. So any kind of device is incompatible with the state drinking rules. And then something that I hadn't realized was that homeowners have the right to refuse. If you want to go in and if you are doing something to the water system, and the state would like to go in and see if the water quality is good or not, they have the right to refuse you entry. And that's a big sticking point as far as local officials. There's no way that they can, if there's a complaint or something, there's no way that they can address that complaint. And the third worst case scenario, again, this is using well water, but I think we can use comparisons. A lot of contamination in the wells. They wanted to clean it up. They wanted people who were buying the homes to know that the home had not passed whatever tests that were used before. Now, these are wells, but I can very easily see this as drinking water systems as well. So the state wanted to legislate and say you have to fill out these forms and let the homeowner know that this has not passed tests in the past. And if you'll notice, it's being contested by the people who would be impacted by that. So I just use these last three scenarios as sort of, the bureaucrats do have to look out for these kinds of situations. These kinds of situations do arise. So again, this is all from Dick, Mr. Stubbs. I think these are some of the things that he thought we need. He mentioned these in the pamphlet. So we need, we're working on that right now. The association is for labeling of piping. We need more offering of possible solutions. We need approval processes. We need recognition that liability is going to be out there. We're going to have to face it sooner or later. I think we need to see that all rainwater for the bureaucrats to accept it must be treated and tested. And we do have this H2S test that Dr. Fujioka has worked on and I myself have worked on. And as for this association, I'm going to be bringing up in the near future that this is a test that the association could provide. It's a very cheap test, and it is a way that the homeowners can determine if a bureaucrat would think that their water was bad or not. I don't know how useful that will be, but we use it in Kentucky and Ohio, and the users, if they think they have a taste or odor problem or something like that, they'll do this little test, and if it turns out positive, then it's no problem. If it's clean, then they don't worry about it. But if they get a reaction with it, then they. But it puts the control in the homeowner a little bit more. And I think, that was it. So thank you very much for.